Something that we've talked about here on the show before, and that specifically is the federal government and the very ambitious goals that have been set for emissions from Alberta's oil and gas producers. Essentially, as you know, it works out to net zero by 50, which, you know, even the oil sands producers themselves have come together and formed a coalition saying, yeah, we can do that. But it's the shorter term ones that are a little more controversial, let's say, 40% below 2005 levels by 2030. So like I say, the net zero goals for 2050 seem to be, even, you know, within industry, something where they're saying, okay, let's do that. The 2030 ones, though, have been called unrealistic. And our next guest says it's not only unrealistic, it is unfair. We're going to chat with Olivier Rancourt, who is an economist with the Montreal Economic Institute, recently wrote a piece you can read in the Edmonton Journal about this very topic. Olivier, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So it's the 2030 goals that we're talking about here, which, you know, I think a lot of people say that's a lot to ask. You feel it's not only a lot to ask, it's downright unreasonable, right?
Yeah, well, we've done an estimation of how much that would require of the production, and that's almost cutting the emission by half.
Yes.
As compared to what we currently have. So it's a big drop, either big innovation that are unlikely or just cutting production.
Part of the argument that you make in your piece is, you know what, when you're talking about emissions, they're all the same. Why are we focusing so much on oil and gas producers?
Yes, exactly. That's something that happened, actually. It's CO2 produced by my car, produced by oil and gas producer, is the same thing for the global climate change. So it's important to look at why they are the only one that have this emission cap instead of something more evidence-based. Because, and it's important, this policy has at a minimum estimated $45 billion cost per year. So it's kind of very expensive.
There's no question. We know that. And we know that it's going to make, I mean, the demand is huge. If you are in the oil patch, you're one of the producers that's trying to meet these goals. Like you say, it's a choice, right? You're either going to have to see some great innovation or it's going to mean a big cut in production.
Yes, and big cut in production, it's, of course, I don't think many people will complain about the idea of big enterprise or enterprise we're getting rich yet poor. Some people are not against that. But the real cost is on families. Thousands of jobs will get lost. Government will lose billion in tax revenues, direct and indirect. For what? Well, most of the production will just get exported in countries like Russia, Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, and Iran. So,
what about the fact, I mean, we've already seen a number of these gains have been made, and we know that our oil patch and the oil industry in this province is really, really proud of the work that they've done and their pledges to do more. I mean, is it completely out of the realm of possibility that this can work out? And in fact, there may be more opportunities. You're talking about carbon capture, you're talking about technological innovation. Is it not possible?
Well, the oil sands has dropped their emission by more than a third since the 1990s. So they did a wonderful job and they do keep investing more and more to diminish their GHG emission. And there's something I know there. Many industries are investing a lot of money into that. And that's fine. The problem here is simply that these goals are far too ambitious and far too constraining for these enterprises that cannot sustain. It's just an obtainable. You cannot reach that goal realistically, and so it's more than a kiss of death than simply a policy direction.
And Olivia, the other thing is, you know, we're talking about how it affects our province and how it affects the oil sands. But I mean, you take a look at what's going on globally, and there also has to be a realization that cutting in production of any kind at this point in time seems like a disastrous idea. And I don't know how much better it's going to be by 2030. To be honest, we are seeing first. And right now, that we have an energy problem that we need to address.
Yes, exactly. And you see, since 80% of Canadian oil is this is for exportation, that means if we don't produce that oil, the rest of the world will need to take to buy more oil from the Gulf country and stuff like that, which will increase worldwide price and will probably make a lot of political trouble in countries like in Europe, as we've seen with Ukraine.
I mean, when we look at this, though, I mean, I don't think any of us expected these. We're still going to have the ambition. We're still going to have the aspiration. But realistically, if they're not met, and they rarely, if ever, are, what does that say about our whole policy to begin with?
Well, it's sort of greenwashing, I feel. Yeah. Out of those policy, I mean, it's understandable, and I think we, many people, and as you said, oil and gas sector is in agreement that we need to diminish our own emission, and that's fine. But a lot of these policies like that end up just exporting our production and exporting our emission elsewhere in countries where they have less ecological standard, where, and not only that, but the right of man and the labor rule.
Exactly, human rights, you name it.
It's just putting the problem where we can see it, because the climate change is a global problem. It's not Canada. It cannot just export everything that produces GHG and say, well, Canada is clean. It's not my problem anymore. It's something that the entire globe needs to work from. And those kind of policies don't really help to durable long-term solution, unlike if we focus on carbon capture or newer standard for transport, or even trying to develop other industries that are also GHG, that has a lot of the GHG emission, that maybe try to find new ways to produce, that then we could export those new production methods to the rest of the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, and more opportunity exists there. Olivier, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you for having me.
That is Olivier Rancourt, who is an economist with, push the wrong button, with the Montreal Economic Institute. That's the argument we've had on the air many times, right? It's not about saying that this isn't something that we need to address, and it's not, you know, saying that it's not an important issue and something that we need to tackle. It's just, how do we go about doing it in a way that makes sense?